This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 13 من شهر شوال 1443 الموافق ل 14 من شهر مايو 2022، واصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك قلوب البراء. اسال الله سبحانه وتعالى ان يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلم وان يغفر لنا الزلات ويكرم لمؤلفه ويرفع درجته في على الدين. So if you remember last time we were talking about the hack of the Sariqa before Ramadan, the hack of the Sariqa, and just to refresh your mind in Islam, when it comes to the crimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorized them, the Sharia categorized them into three categories. You have the hudud, you have the qisas, you have the ta'ziyat. The hudud, the qisas, the ta'ziyat. The hudud, these are the fixed punishments in Sharia, where nobody is allowed to alter or to modify or to change any part of them. They have to be kept the way they are. We have, for example, happy sinner, the punishment of sinner has been placed by nobody can change it. Even though Sulla Sama cannot change it, it has to stay the way it is. 100 lashes for an unvalued person, and also we have to send him to exile for 1 year. For the one who married before, even if the marriage doesn't exist right now, if he commits sinner, he has to be stolen till then. That's the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still me too. So then, we don't replace this with any other kind of version. It has to go through that one. And you have the happy, as I said, half the one that we're talking about. If the amount being stolen by that person reached the result of Sadaqa, which is for the whole dinar, a family in the region, the quarter of the dinar, as I guess we already discussed that, or it will come to the future. If somebody steals that amount, he has to lose his hand. Okay? To the proper risk. So this is Hadu as Sadaqa. You have another Hadu, which is Hadu and Qalf. Is false accusation against an innocent woman or man. When somebody tells them, Zani, call them Zani, somebody who committed there, adultery or adulterous, that person has to provide evidence. If you call somebody fornicator, then you must provide evidence. If no evidence, then the Prophet said, and then you have to had them be wrong. Either you provide evidence or meet you 80 times. So the haq for the qatf also is 80. It's fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 80 actions. Okay. And you have another haq, which is haq al-rid. Controversial matter amongst the scholars, but really that is one of those issues that the scholars mentioned to be having a fixed punishment, okay, which is death. Are we supposed to give that person a respite? I guess we discussed this most likely. If not, we will have that in the future, inshallah. Some scholars say we give him respite to event, some scholars say we shouldn't give him respite. Okay. And you have the haddu, should look up when somebody drinks wine. This one, not all the scholars agree with it to be happy, because in the time of Umar ibn al-Anhu, they know the fact. Right, they add on top of those 40 lashes being used by the Prophet in time of Omar, they added 40 more. So the scholars, some of them said this shows that this is not had, because had is defined as something that cannot be reduced, it cannot be increased. Nobody can reduce it and nobody can increase it, nobody can modify it. It has to remain the way it is. So in Omar, we talk to the companions and all of them agree to add. Including Abu Nabita, he was not who proposed actually to add 40 more. He says the evidence that is always come to be fine is that had of a qazr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to be somebody who committed 80 lashes, and that's means we should go to the 80 lashes for the one who drinks wine, because when he drinks, that's it. Second, of course, a crime, he will become intoxicated, and then after that, he will talk the way he wants, and he will falsely accuse others. So, I didn't have a time to take into account. So, these are the hudud. The hudud means the fixed punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which nobody is allowed to modify. The same type of punishment means the qisas. Qisas also are fixed. Fixed by the shaykh. But the difference between qisas and hudud, in qisas matters, the owner of the right can modify. The owner of the right can modify the qisas. Somebody killed the brother of another person. The family member of the murdered person can forgive. If they forgive it, that's it. They can forgive to nobody. Ilaveh badr means no compensation, no replacement. Meaning they will just simply forgive. No deer, no results, no anything. We don't want it. Just let him go up and stop us. They can forgive their rights. He has to go up with the kuffara because this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as the right of human being is concerned, that could be possible. So these are the matters of qisas. The difference between qisas and had is that in Qisas case, somebody can change it. The one who has a right can change it. Okay. There are some of the Qisas which you can forgive before they reach the authority. Like somebody falsely accuses you. Allah protect you can forgive them. But if you take him to authority, and that person confesses, or you establish evidence that yes, he accused, he has to be punished. Your forgiveness is useless. Get it? Like Stephen, somebody stole something from you. You can forgive it before you reach the authority. But once it's reached the police, or it's reached the court, or reached the leader, the punishment must be executed. Your forgiveness will be useless. You forgive him, you don't forgive him. So we will talk about this, inshallah. So these are the matters of qisas. Like we said, the difference between qisas and hudud is that qisas could be forgiven. Yeah, it's also fixed that somebody can fall. Somebody can alter. Somebody can change. You can say, no, this person killed my brother intentionally, but I don't want him to be killed. I want the deal to be paid. You can go for the deal rather than death. Okay, the last one, which is the vast majority of their punishments, this is the ta'zim, right? Ta'zim, these are the punishments that are meant by the Sharia to be addressed by the discretion of the authority, okay? According to what they see. So if they see that this person should be killed, they go, this person should be beaten how many times in the way they want, according to the nature of the punishment, they go. You get an idea, because sometimes the amount of the punishment, all the time actually, you should be reflecting the jarima, right? It should be reflecting. Somebody touch a woman, get it? Intention. Just touch, and then you send him to jail. You will beat him 1,000 times. You beat him 1,000 times. You send him to jail. Madhah. Does that match the quantity of the jarima? Well, the evidence. That's why they said, "La yaqdi al-qadi wa huwa al-qadi." The scholars make the ask, they say, "Oh." He must be moderate. That's why during the qada, the qadi has to be a very moderate. It's not even the weather in the room when he's making the decision should be moderate. Not too cold, not too. Because if it's too cold, he doesn't want to stay that long. In any case that comes in, you know. And if he's angry, imagine he came and he's angry. The family name. He came to the court. Somebody reported that this guy is smart. It's the last. He said, cut him. Send him to jail. He will be releasing the punishment. He says, today is the day of punishment. Yeah. They are making chaos on that hand. They say, even if the weather is not moderate in the room where he's making the decision, he has to finish a call. Don't want to stay in that place. So it has to be a very comfortable place that he will relax and he will have no excuse. So, not too angry. If he's angry, he has to postpone the cases until the time he's happy. The same goes to when he's so happy. And he's so happy also in the tragedy. They might bring criminals, big criminals to him. He deserves heavy punishment, but he will just forgive them because today he has some good news. So the same goes to, as I said, they also asked Shaman Jawan. So these are the matters of ta'zir. Ta'zir is based on the discretion of them. Of the judge and the rulers. We mentioned in the Valencia Real long ago when the first time people started seeing these bad movies, people coming into the media name. In that place, you don't know that place, especially in the past, there will be something. People are not having access to this. So when he started getting to the community, one of the judges used to tell Abdul-Mahmoud, whenever they take a series of a cassette, in those days, they're like, you know, that kind of long cassette. Whenever they take it from them, and they punch, you know, the Shabab boy using that, that judge used to talk against them. No, this is wrong. And I would never accept it. One of our professors in Manila narrated this story in class. He said, they invited him, the higher, invited him one day to East Orleo, and they opened up. When he saw it, like, he used to tell them, don't beat, you know, he used to be, you know, a few lashes at the leg of the person holds, and they take the notes and break it. After that, when he saw it, he was, I was really asked, what is this? He said, this could be prophecy, actually. And this event was arranged with the intention of showing you, we did not tell you that. Our intention is to show you so that you can see. We know if we tell you to go and watch in the middle. After that, when he saw that, you know, whenever they brought the case, he used to command them to be to 1,000. Rasulullah said, there's a khabar, kill more. Yeah. It's a khabar. So sometimes you might see, having, you might be so gentle, you know, in terms of addressing some of the matters, because we don't know. We don't see. When we see with your own eyes, the action will be different. Right? Musa alayhi salam, was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your people are worshipping the cow. What was his reaction? He said, I want to say, subhanAllah, you don't see that. Yes, he worried so much about it. But he was so happy with the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that occupied his brain, his heart. But Allah told him, he took it seriously. That he wasn't the same as the seriousness when he saw it. Because when he saw the thing, what happened? He threw away the Torah that was with him. When Allah told him, your people are worshiping God, he was holding the Torah. He said, I will go back and check this. And address it. But when he seen it with his own eyes, he threw away the Torah. He was very angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described us as Sultan and Ali, and Musa couldn't control himself at that time. So anyway, so ta'zir is supposed to be based on the discretion of the authority and according to the quantity of the crime. Yeah. You must look into the crime. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them to use it in the way they want. No. Judge has to be a master. He shouldn't go beyond the limit in terms of punishment. He should use his smartness and wisdom to look into the crime and prescribe punishment accordingly. Prescribe punishment accordingly. Okay, so this is the last time of the punishment. So we are dealing with that. We dealt with the qisas, and now we are dealing with that, with the hadith, right? And this is the haq, the fani. We dealt with the sinner fight, and now we are dealing with that with the second. So the first hadith, we have the lot of hadith that we studied on this topic, but the first hadith for today's class is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. I believe they mentioned this, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. Bain huwa bain abihi. Come, sir. Between him and his father is only 11 years. And now, some 40 years between them and that. With the Shabab Leo, maybe 60 years. If they have to finish their proposition. We use the Qa'ila Bin Qas by Khalid. Give us the word yesterday. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu su'i'an al-tamri al-mu'allab, faqala man asaba bihi, من ذي حاجة غير متخذ خبلة فلا شيء عليه، ومن خرج بشيء منه فعليه الغرامة والعقوبة، ومن خرج بشيء منه بعد أن يرويه الجريم فبلغ ثمنا بجنب فعليه القتل. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, when he was asked about a thamar. The thamar is a fruit. Okay? It has fruits on the tree. In the hadith, it says, "Su'ila the tamr al-ma'alla." Tamr al-ma'alla means the one that is still on the tree. Okay? It's still on the tree before the hasad. فقال من أصاب به بني حالة غير متخذ خمة غير متخذ خمة فلا شيء عليه. He passed the word. They said you are very happy. Okay? And this is the farm of Tamar. So he takes some food. He says, and you eat. Is that okay? So much of our summer said, we had it, we really need it. We take a few of them. Tomorrow, and then you eat, there will be no problem. But this one, it shouldn't be the one on the road, on the side of the road. Because imagine you have the main road, yeah, and the highway. Thousands of cars are passing. Everyone who comes takes some. Before you realize already everything already finished peacefully in the land. We are talking about one that is too far from the people, but we happen to be in that place and you are really hungry, you take a bit of it, there will be no problem with that. Because birds as well, insects also are eating. So you'll be one of those who are taking from it. So you will be rewarded. Okay? So that is not theft, although you are taking it without the permission of the Lord. As long as you are not taking it and putting it in your clothing, meaning you gather, you take books, take off. If you do that, then you are responsible. That's going to just take one or two, three. Yeah. To remove the possibility of death, the hunger, you are very hungry, eat a bit and then go. Falasha, that would be nothing. ومن خرج بشيء منه فعليه غرامة العقوبة. And if a person takes something from it, he takes, although it's little, but he ate and paid something, he has to pay. And so pay the compensation and he must receive the عقوبة. He must receive the عقوبة. ومن خرج بشيء منه بعد أن يؤويه الجليل. الجليل, this is the place where they put the temple to dry. And the place where they keep the temple to make it dry. So if somebody takes something from that journey, you know, the owner of the temple already took it to that place, and you go and take it from that place. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if that which you took reached the price of Nijan, that person must lose his hand. How much is it a vision? In those days, the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know vision, right? Vision is a toss, a barak, a shield you put to when you are fighting against, or the one you hold when you are fighting to stop people from hitting you with a sword. That's the shield you use when you find somebody to defend yourself from the arrows. So this is Mijan. In those days, the price is a quarter of a dinar. Okay? The price is a quarter of. قال المنذر sorry, قال المنذر والمراد بالتمر المعلق ما كان معلقا في النخل قبل أن يجذب ويجمع. The meaning of the tamr here is the one that is still on the tree before you cut it. Still on the tree before you cut it. And before you take it to the Jareel, when you put it in the place of the Jareel, then khalas, that hukum changes. Okay, hadith al-Masa'il. This hadith contains issues to be discussed. The issue about قال أنه إذا أخذ المحتاج بفيه لسد فاقة فإنه مباح. When a person takes and you really need to eat, you take a few, you put them in your mouth to remove the hunger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is fine. The second one, أنه يحرم عليه الخروج بشيء. فإن خرج بشيء منه فلا يخلو أن يكون قبل أن يجذب ويؤذيه الجريم أو بعده، فإن كان قبل الجذب فعليه غرامة العقوبة، وإن كان بعد القتل وإيواء الجريم فعليه القبض مع بلوغ المأخوذ من نصاب حره فبلغ ثمن المجرم. So this is emphasizing on the second matter mentioned by the Hadith, that if a person take the tamar, you are not allowed to go out of the farm with it. If you take the tamar, you cannot go out of the farm. If you go out of the farm with it, we look into the situation. Are you taking it when you, did you take it when it was still up there? Or you took it after the owner of the farm cut it from the tree? If you are doing it after it was removed from the tree, then we look into the situation. Did you take it after he was taken to the Jareel? If you take it before that, then we just punish you or we're going to cut off that. But if he was doing that. But if he takes it after the owner already took it to the Jareel, this is like his place of protection for it, then that person has to lose his hand as long as the price of the value of that tamar which you have taken is equivalent to as when he has taken a lot, his son is not happy. He's going there for business. قال الثالثة أنه أجمل في الحديث الغرامة أو أجمل في الحديث الغرامة والعقوبة. ولكنه أخرج البيهقي تفسيرها بأنها غرامة مثله وبأن العقوبة جلدات نكال أو نكال. He says if you look into the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said فعليه غرامة والعقوبة. But he did not mention which عقوبة. He says that person has to go for the غرامة. غرامة means he has to be fined. So what kind of fine we should charge him? What عقوبة? He has to be punished. Whatever punishment. He says there is another narration in Al-Bayhaqi where Al-Bayhaqi mentioned that this punishment, this غرامة, this fine, is مثلي. Mean, if the tamar is 10 ringgit, we charge him 20. If they need, we double the price. We charge him 20. وبأن العقوبة جلدات and the عقوبة the punishment جلدات. جلدات means we beat him, you know, a few lashes. جلدات we beat him a few lashes. And do we restrict this? To the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says لا يجلد فوق عشر جلدات إلا في حد من حدود الله. So the scholars said any matter of tazir has to be restricted to that. But other scholars said it is still based on the discretion of the ruler, the court, you know, to see which punishment fits the crime committed by that. So here also jaladat is not restricted, right? It's to an amount. So it is still up to the leader to prescribe whatever appears to be appropriate. وقد استدل بهذا الحديث أو استدل بحديث أو استدل بحديث البيهقي على جواز العقوبة العقوبة بالمال، فإن غرامة مثله من العقوبة بالمال، وقد أجازه الشافعي في القديم ثم رجعه وقال لا تضاعف الغرامة على أحد في شيء، إنما العقوبة في الأبدان لا في الأموال. وقال هذا منسوخ والناسخ له قضاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أهل الماشية بالليل ما أتلفت، فهو ضامن أي مضمون على أهلها. وقال إنما يضمن له بالقي. وقد قدم الكلام في ذلك في حديث باحث في الزكاة. So some scholars, you know, there is an issue among some scholars. Can we punish somebody financially? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحل مال امرئ إلا بطيب من نفسه. It is not permissible for the wealth of somebody to be touched except if he agrees with that. So it became an issue. Is it permissible for us to punish somebody financially? Yeah. What is that in the court now? Sometimes they charge you for certain crimes. You do not steal money. You do not take money from others, but you have to pay. This money goes to the public, not to the pocket of the judge. But is it even haram for us to charge somebody financially? So this hadith is one. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Amil al-mal." And in the narration of the Bayhaqi, he says, "Mithlayhi." That's when the other half, you know, is akub. Because if the tamr he ate cost only 10 riyal, when he pays 10 riyal, he's paying for that which he ate. But if I ask him to pay another 10 riyal, the additional amount is punished. So some scholars said this shows that we can punish somebody financially. The Umat al-Mali. You get it? So this is the opinion of Imam Shafi al-Qadim. The first opinion of Imam Shafi was that, but then he changed it in his mind. Imam Shafi has a Qadim one. So he changed his opinion. He says that about for the Imam Shafi al-Qadim. He changed. Never the Umat al-Mali. Imam Shafi said everyone should be charged up according to his karma, the value of what he did. If it is one ring, we don't go beyond that. He says the akuba is only on the physical akuba, not financial. He said that hadith of Bayhaqi means mansukh. Mansukh means abrogated, right? What is a nasikh? A nasikh lahu qala'u nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala ahli al-mashy. You remember the hadith of ahli al-mashy? So that we made Masha went and destroyed the crops and the plantation of another person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala Ashi al-Majati, and Yallahu ma'atlatat bin. Because at night, Mawashi is supposed to live restricted, right? At home. If you let your Masha, your animal, you know, going around, then you should be in charge of whatever it is. I mean, it did. So when that animal did something at night, you're responsible. But in the daytime, the one who's responsible to protect his farm is the farmer himself. That's a just decision of the Prophet. In the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَاوُدْ وَسُلَيْمَانَ إِلَّا قُمَانِ بِهِ الْحَرْفِ إِنَّمْ شَفْتِهِ غَلَمُ الْقَوْبِ كُلَّا شَفْمِهِ شَاهِدِينَ Allah says, فَفَحَمْنَهَا سُلَيْمَانَ وَكُلَّا أَتِنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا أثنى على قضاء سليمان. داود الحكم. داود الحكم was the judge. From time to time, Sulaiman, Allah SWT gave the Quran to Sulaiman, which Daud did not get. But Allah says, وَكُلَّ الْأَعْدِينَ حُكْمًا فَيْمًا. And this one also is the same thing. Somebody's animal went to the farm of another person and ate it. Either whatever, they destroyed different things. They lost. So what happened is Dawood said, "Can we just switch? Take that one. He lost this and you should take that." So the man when he came, he said, "No." He says, "Why are you still doing it? It's like court of appeal, right?" He said, "One of you is not happy with that. Then we can review the case. We do it." Now this we have, this is the court decided the case and they were happy with that, you take it to the court. Submitted that appeal. What they do in some places, and I like that one also, the court will not immediately decide the case. They will return the case back to the initiator, the first, to redo it. They will tell them to call for the case and fresh case. If they concluded in the same way, and the guy is not happy, you know, and the court will go through the all the details. How is that going to happen to them? If nobody is happy with that, then they will approve the first one. If they're not happy, and the case will be reopened in the court of appeal. Now we release the first one. Now the case is here. They will look into it by themselves. So Suleiman told the two brothers, since one of them is not happy, because he cannot be happy with that. So he said, what to do is, I have a different judgment. You take the sheep, okay? You, the owner of the sheep, take the farm. You grow it until you take it back in the way it was before your sheep come and restore it. And you take the sheep and take care of the sheep and benefit from the wool, benefit from the milk. After the crops grow back to the original way it was, then you can come back and take the sheep and pass the farm to you. And everyone was happy with that decision. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Suleiman, wa kullan atayna hikmah wa ilma. So, and Aqubat al-Mali, according to the best opinion of the scholars, wallahu a'lam, is halal. The government can find a person and ask him to pay money. But the money should go to that public interest, right? So that's when they should go to the Bait al-Mali. Nowadays, the Bait al-Mali doesn't exist. It is represented by the Ministry of Finance. We have small institutions that are called Bait al-Mal, but the real Bait al-Mal, according to the way it was before, is the Ministry of Finance. Okay, the small Bait al-Mal, these are charity organizations. Yeah, their Bait al-Mal is just literally called Bait al-Mal. In terms of the technical definition of Bait al-Mal, they don't do it. Because Bait al-Mal executes a patient of the books that are wanted to go. Whatever dollar the country owes. In those days, you have the sources of the revenue, Ghanai, Kharaj, Jizya, you know, and you have the Zakat that is coming, you know, and there are Oqam, all of those things going to the Bait al-Mal. Whatever is called wealth, the place to keep it is the Bait al-Mal in those days. The wealth that belongs to the public. Missing properties without a proper owner. This and less properties, you know, the property that estate be left by the deceased, but there's nobody to inherit it. We pass it all to the Bait al-Mal, the Muslim, which is the Ministry of Finance now. So as I said, the best opinion is the one that says you can, the government can charge people money, you know, but the money should go to the public. That's why if I borrow money from a Brahman, for instance, and I don't want to be a now, a Brahman take me to the court. We go to the court and the judge. Can the judge charge me money and give it to him? Excellent. 100,000 I took from him, but now the judge is asking me for my delay. He said you have to pay 150,000. Is that halal? No, they give you 50,000 extra. But it's not only is that halal. Why do that? Because a woman doesn't ask it. Is a government, right? Is a woman by the government? So is it halal or not? Right. So we all agree this bottom opinion. So it is not permissible because I am forced, I don't give that money willingly. And then the one who the beneficiary is Abraham, the owner of the money, the credit. So that's exactly riba. Riba, it came to Abraham free of charge. There's a need to work for it, but the judges said riba. So if you take that money, this is riba. This is riba. So the government, they can take money from me for misbehaving. No, but that money should go to Betty alone. It cannot go to Abraham. It has to go to Betty. You get it? Otherwise, if they have to give it to him, then that's good. Everyone will take that. They just to the point. So they can get extra money, you know, and that in the future. So the money that is taken cannot go to that, to the creditor. It has to be given to that, to the Betty. Okay, the last issue. It's the issue of the hens. قَالَ أُخِذَ مِنْ مُشْتَرَاقِ الْحَيْدِ زَدِي وَجُولِي أَقْرَطِ. The take of this hadith, the issue of the hens. You know the hens? Place of protection. You know, we define that as taking the wealth of another person without his permission, it is separate from the place of protection. Yeah, if you take it from a place which is not the place of protection, that person is not called the somebody from us is money here to this Muslim. Another person too. Should we call that person Salih? No, he's not Salih. Because we don't keep money in the masajid. We get it. Or he takes it from the house. Yeah, then we call him Salih. You get the idea? You have your money in your pocket next to you. When you put it next to you and you sleep on it. Somebody came and drove you because you sleep very heavily and took the money. If you take it from the hills, yes. Because that place they will protect their money sometimes, especially when they're sleeping, you will not be comfortable to the pocket. You probably don't really want to sleep on it. Wrong decision, for sure, because sometimes you change position, and then maybe the money also will sleep with you and that, and the hand of the three. So when the Prophet also said, "Ba'ala and you will jamu," if a person take it after the money has been taken, the tamar has been taken to the he said, "Person take it from that place, then we have to pay." So he took it. So also said he has to pay. Wow. Should be cut off. The agenda of this policy is very clear that it's a condition for a person to lose his hand that he must have taken that item from the police. There are some, like the one here, as you know, they said no. We will accept this condition because the ayah doesn't mention heads. And I mean, so many of you remember, you know, in some of his opinion, you know, and his opinion is not that much clear. Whether he is with the majority concerned the issue of the hills, or he is with the Wahhabis and those who did not understand. But Allah had the best of healing, looking at the Sunnah of the Prophet and other Sunnah also, this one is very clear in other places, then you will understand that it should be a condition for a person to use his hand that he must have taken that property from the hills. So I guess since this is the first class, that should be the last thing we should study. If I go to the next hadith, we head towards seminar. And last one, to the practice to read and be with us for hallelujah. Inshallah, we will see you in the next class. And let's see if there is anyone who has questions.
Would it be approved to eat a month hungry, according to this hadith? Or would it be a group or how to eat if I'm not hungry? From that habit, if I eat from the weights? Yeah. Then you a group or not for cleaning.
Whatever comes to health, it's either come out with it, is it really helpful if it is compulsory or not that a person should eat? Yeah, so this one you should check it. But as far as I know, it is really not healthy for somebody to eat a ba'alakam. We already have the food that we have eaten, which is not being digested yet, and we take it out. Ibn Khaldun, in his book, Al-Muqaddimah, has a very good explanation for this issue and how it comes to body. He said, when you eat, and then you take out before the first child is being digested, the system is going to be neglected in the second and the first one, and now get busy with the second. So the second one is not properly fixed, you know, and those things which are not supposed to be in the body, they are not properly eliminated. So they will be distributed and channeled to places in the way you are. He said, that's why sometimes you have fever, that's why sometimes you have headache, you don't know where it's coming from. That's why it is really good for a person to train himself after he eats to heal the food. Drink water or things which are known to be beneficial, you know, to a person, you know, after it. And you know, food to the people. Take food from time to time. You know, things that will help the digestive system. But anything that harms the body, take it as a principle, and the fire that says, abdominal, use that. Form should be limited. Okay, it depends on the quantity of the harm. If it is, it's a little bit, how long you might say it is like for a person to go to that way. But if it is going to put the person in danger, then it is impermissible for them to do. If you're sick and the doctor tells you, do not eat this type of food, you have to avoid it completely. If you decommit, you will be sick. You take one spoon of it, you will be sick. So you have to just train yourself to stay away from it. It's just a matter of time. All of these things are happening. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we are shadow. We eat a lot. Every time we eat. Nowadays, whenever somebody sees something, want to try it. Similar to the one that says we live to. Allah Abdurrahman. We live to eat. Yeah, seriously, there are some people like that. But it's not good. So train yourself to that attitude. Eat when you eat, whenever you stay away from food. You know, Rajab said, if you are to bring the dead ones, don't be surprised. 2/3 of the people who died, the causes of their death happen to be with this stuff. This stuff. The kind of the people dead. And I guess, inshallah, if you do your analysis today, the vast majority of the sickness that people are suffering on a daily basis, they are connected to what you eat, what type of food you're eating, and how you're eating. I love that history.
Person that's switching up Sulaiman. Why shouldn't animals be free to roam around? Why shouldn't the animals be free to roam around at night?
Because at night
the question
is why, right? Yeah. Because at night people sleep. So when they go out, you know, that's what protected those properties and food. So the animals are always present, making for their survival. They will go to this community. So who is responsible? Is this the owner? So that's why the problem is a lot. So I said, at night, they should keep their animals for the long place. But if they take the issue and owners of the farms, they should take care of them. We should have somebody to protect. But at night, we cannot tell the farmer to remain 24 hours in this farm. So that the sheep of another person will not come out is God, risk is crossed. So that's the reason why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi said to be there. At night, since Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, Ya Alayhi, give us a life. That's all said. So this is a kind of person who people relax in here. Including the farmers, they want to relax and rest. So if we are to force them to go out sit in their farms, that will be courage in life. And Allah says, my God, and if you forgive me, courage. So to be fair, at night when everyone sleeps, animals also should be restricted. Okay? And in the daytime, everyone is awake, but the animal can go. Because there will be somebody who should be protecting the farm in the daytime.
Yeah, the second question is, you mentioned that the government can take money from the borrower for business related and give it to the related one. Is the misbehaving here meant is delaying of the payment of money?
In the case of borrowing money, I'm referring to that misbehaving. Delay. And he has the payment for 3 years. The one who has the money to pay that he doesn't pay, that's it's called another. Procrastination in paying the debts by a rich person. The person also not called it depression. It's a lot of money, a good one. The delay of a rich debtor, you know, in terms of paying the debt and the writing for others, is oppression. Good. You can do it for our poverty. It justifies the punishment. Going into that person, if the owner of the wealth happens to talk to aggressive. Yeah, so I'm referring to that kind of misbehavior when it comes to that. But they can charge money also for other types of misbehaviors. I remember a judge, and this is a true story. It's a true story. A person slapped his wife. Then his mother. When it reached the court, the judge said, with every finger, she did 5,000. Every finger, 5,000. I believe that no one will be wishing that man is not having 10 times. He said, every finger, 5,000. So, that is the whole money. We do not say to half, come and slap him again, but there is another half. Well, there's a person also, but I wish that Allah will develop a wish. You cannot slap a person, you cannot hit a person on his face. No matter how much angry you are, hit some other places, but not head. Not this. So he smacked his wife on that. He said, then just check me right about him. So, it's allowed to be charged for, to charge money for misbehavior. All types of misbehaviors.
Our third question is a confirmation. So is it that included when a person leaves money by mistake in a place and somebody takes it, it's done and it's not considered debt and it's permissible for the person to pay?
It's not permissible for it to be good. But I'm just saying, as far as the definition of theft is concerned, that person should not be called thief. Because if we call him thief, related taxes. So, did he commit a crime of theft? No, he did not. But what he did, is it appropriate? No. It depends on the reason why he's doing it. He took it to go and pass it to the Muslim town department, right? Is that right?
Yes,
absolutely right. He took it to go and look for the owner. Is that right? Yes, it's absolutely right. A few days ago, I guess Monday or Tuesday, morning, I was praying here. I realized that somebody left by there with a locker or something, and his fancy watch, and his phone, all on the back. And then I couldn't see anyone except one person sitting down there. Try to see what is the connection. He's there, and everything is here. So I just had in my mind, maybe to leave the office. But then when I see him, then I ask. The moment I just called his name, he said, yeah, it's mine. He already knows that. I will be asking about it. So in this case, when you see that thing, which one is good? To keep it or to take it?
It's not the same appearing from the IUL main email form before the semester break, saying that the semester break is going to come and everyone should be very careful with this property.
You address it according to the hadith of the Prophet
But he was asked about sheep. He said, here, how do I think? How did it? Either you take it, or if you don't take it, somebody's going to take it. Or a wolf is going to take it. So when you find something that is so insignificant, you can take it. And when you take it, are you supposed to keep it for 1 year? You have 1 baby, you keep it that 1 baby for a year? No. You go on, use it, no problem. Up to 10 ringgit. Now we just have to look at the culture in that place, right? Up to 10 ringgit, I think, is the right reasonable amount. If you get that one, then you have to look for four and you decide to keep it with you. In the university, I don't think you should punish yourself. Just go and give it to them. To the management. They will do it now. The fee is better by themselves. You get it? So if you find something in a place, as Jeffa mentioned, you should take it. You should look into the situation. If the place is safe, it's better to leave it in that place because the owner is used to it. Like in our apartment, the small one. You might see something, a watch being kept in the place, and you come and take it. Maybe spin it, a kid don't touch. And say, what did you come see? So in that place, you can keep money, and most likely you will be advising, but most likely you find it. So if you realize that the place is safe, it's better to keep it because usually the person will come back and look for his place. But if the place is not safe, like hey, for instance, if somebody finds the money, you should take it and go and give it in the department that you expect that person to come to and look for his property in that place. You get it? And this is supposed to be applicable in every place except one place. How much? Yeah. The person wants to know talks about how much. He said, that to the top of something that will be that illusion. He says, nobody is allowed, one of the uniqueness of that place, you are not allowed to take something that somebody missing that place. Except if you are going to look for the home. The scholar said, but this is the ruling in every place. So when the Prophet also mentioned a specific rule to be addressed this matter, that's what it is different from other places. In other places, after 1 year, it's up to the Jews, or to give the charity on his behalf. Or to keep one more time. But if you use it and then the owner comes back and it tells you, I heard that you're looking for this and this is mine actually, and giving you precisely the description of the item, what happens now? You have to pay me back. You have to pay me. Right? You have to pay me. But if I took it in one cup, after 1 year, can I order the thing? Most of the scholars say you will have to look for the owner in an effort. So, for instance, you are going to ask for Malaysia and you made a mistake and took something from Haram and you couldn't find the owner and you went back to Malaysia. That means every year you have to go to Hajj. That's a very good opportunity, right? So, every year you have to go and look for the owner. You must look for the owner for Hajj. According to the best for people of the scholars. So, to conclude, Sister Shema, when a person sees something, he cannot take it to own it if the thing has value, but he can take it to look for the owner of the thing for the period of 1 year. After 1 year, if the person doesn't come, then he has a right to own it or to give it in charity. Get it? So, we don't say the person is a sinner unless it is intended to own it at the first place. Okay. This is applicable on anything like that. One thing. What is that? Camels. Camels, missing camels, you cannot take. You have to leave. Unless if you're sure that this person is gone. I mean, this camel is gone and it cannot come back to the owner, you can take it and bring it back to it. But the Prophet Allah said when he asked him about Dalla to give him, he was angry. He said, Malaka wala ha. He said, what's with you? What business you have with it? He said, leave it. It has the strong hooks, and it also is so powerful because camel is not easy for a small animal to catch. It's not easy. So it can live in the forest for a long period of time, and it can stay without drinking water for 40 days or even more on the island, you know, because it will have them. It's in the wars, Sometimes when they need water, they kill animal and the camel, and they open that place, they take fresh water to the camel. So the Prophet also has said this to them. At the end of the day, because usually when you go around or go around the end of the day, it comes back to the end. Other than that, whatever you find, it is not that much significant. Here, I don't take it. And look for the owner for 1 year, and then if you couldn't find it, you have to give it to the owner. But the scholars also discussed, can I just leave it? Yeah. Some of them said, well, it depends on the security of the place. And if the place is secure, then you can leave. Some of them said, no, you have to. You must take it and then look for the owner. Let's say you take your soul in new university, the best to give it to the money first. On the street, when you look in Paris, in their, what do you call there are shops nearby, you know, a lot. Either you pass it to them on the phone, or you should tell them that I found the money. If you ever comes here looking for that money, this is my contact.
Another person. So financially punishing someone is only allowed at any misbehavior, and when the person and the one being punished permits to be punished from payment. Is that the case?
He doesn't need to promise. That's the permission given to the authority that last count out to charge, because he would never fully agree to punish. The government should decide. Otherwise, those rich people will always accept financial punishment, right? Because they can just pay for it. So sometimes the government has to punish them physically so that they will taste them. Otherwise, he's supposed to go to jail. And they do have. So it is not based on his choice. It's based on the choice of the to find it and change it.
Last question, inshallah, but it's so sad. So I want to get a share on behalf of your friend. What do you think when it comes to discipline is indecisive? For example, using which book to the different has not given our functions. What do you think about if the person is not decisive? So for example, they want to choose a book to read, but they have multiple options to get more for that. To choose
one of them.
I would propose, if a person is confused, go for this to come. Reading books is important, it's a good knowledge, which one should I read? Which discipline should I prefer over this department rather than the form? Quran should be placed in situations of conflict. If I choose this one, Allah will be ready. Even if Quran accepted there is a conflict. And the Prophet asked for this Quran with his wife, the wives, because there is a conflict. Yeah. If he's to take part and Aisha, someone will say wrong. If you take Hussein, someone will say wrong. Yeah, then you go for the form. And whenever you hear Quran, that means there is somebody who might not agree with the decision. But in terms of choosing what I want, which only me is involved, you know, I'm the only one who is involved, then I don't need to go for the Quran at all. I don't need to go for the Quran. Then you go for this istikhara. Ask the last one to choose you, to show you the best. Because if you do this istikhara in matters of conflict, who would agree with you? If you imagine you tell me, I choose this person because I do this istikhara and I feel more comfortable, to choose it. No one I said, nobody would agree. But if they do the Quran, they would agree. They would agree. Allah God just go through. No one does.
Follow up by Shishaka. Didn't we initially say that it was not permissible for the government of somebody to be cashed without permission? So what is this Shabbat? Or does it come under the obligation?
That's not obligation since the Shabbat. This is just exception. If everything is ruling, you have exception. That's why the person is bankrupt. Right? What does the government do? They sell his property. Does he want this to be sold? No. They're going to take his property and sell it by force. He doesn't agree with that. One of the key conditions for the stability of the transaction is mutual consent. This person doesn't agree. But the government do have a right to do it, to take the right of his. So when there is a crime, the exception given to the authority by this policy, and that's enough the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to charge them, fine, to punish them financially. When there is a crime. And that hadith you mentioned, since the Shabbat, is applicable in all other circumstances. Government taking money from the people, or any other person taking money from others, they have to grant permission to that. Being a king, being a minister, being a ruler, doesn't mean you own what people have. They have their money, you have your own money. And even the rulers and the leaders, the money of the country, this is country's money. That's why you can see cases, right? After the government has gone to the next one, they check and see whether that is basically is management of wealth at all. Because the money doesn't belong to anyone, it belongs to the public. So nobody has a right to touch the wealth of another person except with the consent of that person. Except in the cases of punishment when that person commits a crime and the government sees that the best punishment is the financial punishment, they can go for this. So we take it as an exception. It's not abrogation. We take it as exception. If you say abrogation, that's when that rule ruling is cancelled completely. But it is not. It was just an exception for the cases of crime. Well, the government can charge somebody financially. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when he talks about the zakah, he said, "Man addaha qayyim tabiha nafsuhu khabari." He said, whoever takes zakah willingly, we take it from him. And whoever refused to give the zakah, فَإِنَّ أَخِذُهَا وَشَطَرَ مَالِهِ أَخَذَةً مِنْ أَخَذَةٍ أَوْ عَزْمَةً مِنْ أَذْمَةٍ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a person gives the zakah, we take it. If he doesn't give, he said, we will take it by force. If he doesn't give, willingly, we will take the wealth by force, and we will divide his money into half, you know, to two, and we take half of the wealth as a punishment. We take the zakat. That's why the scholar said, when do we take the zakat? Do we take the zakat first and divide, or we divide first and then take the zakat from the balance? So most likely, the zakat should be taken from the whole wealth first, and then we divide what left and take the half of it as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you call this? Financial punishment. So these are all exceptions to address matters of crime. But other than that, since the Shabbat, the ruling is general. Nobody has the right to touch the wealth of another person, whoever this person might be. Okay? Except the authorities, when they have the justification, when somebody does it, does a crime, so they can جزاكم الله خيرا واحسن اليكم في الدنيا والاخره انه بكل جميل التدريس سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته